You're listening to Packers Talk Network. Packers Talk.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Check New York Bozo! New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
I'm going to go so angry Jim Rome on you, Brian. It's going to be ridiculous.
Jordan made some good points, and that was cute.
Who, me?
Well, you're real handsome. Your eyes look real nice today in that jersey, Brian. Tell you that right now.
And bring you some more devastation and more knowledge and more fun facts about...
Did you just promise
tonight
that we're going to go devastate all of our listeners?
Welcome back, Packer Nation, to a very, very special edition of Pack to the Future podcast. Joining us tonight, we have Super Bowl champion, legendary Packers kicker, Chris Jackie in the house, guys. Chris, how are you doing this evening, man?
Hey, I'm doing well. It's always good to be in the house. I know we were talking a little before. You guys are in Kentucky and Colorado, and we're having a few thunderstorms come through. It's been a crazy summer up here weather-wise, but at least it's not snow yet. But it's getting close to football.
I live in Wisconsin, and I'm like, we went from literally winter to summer. There was no spring, no nothing. The weather's always just insane in this state.
Yeah, it's always insane. This year was especially bad. I mean, we went from blizzards, like you said, to 85 degrees and tornadoes. So who knows what we're going to have this year? I know one thing we're going to have is a better team, I hope.
Okay. I hope. Let's go. I like that. Chris, before we get too deep into Packers talk, what's going on with you, man? I mean, what are you working on right now? Just, you know, tell us a little bit about what Chris Jackie's working on right now.
Well, right now he's working. I think the severe weather, you know, to be real current, I dodged another severe thunderstorm this evening. But, you know, if you followed me on my Facebook feed, you know, I started a company back in 2013 called Player Alumni Resources. And it was really a way to keep connected that relationship between alumni, the guys that really built the Green Bay Packers, you know, so that we don't forget them, to the best fans in sports. And that being said, you know, through the website, you know, I help the guys anyone from like a Jerry Kramer or Marv Fleming, you know, most of the guys I played with, you know, Frankie Bagadona, it's William Henderson, Santana Dotson, you know, I got a few younger guys, you know, Mamon Green and KGB. No, I'll say KGB because I still can't pronounce his name. and we do a lot of different things. You know, we help with golf outings. We do a lot of corporate speaking, you know, because a lot of these guys have a lot of stories to tell. George Kuntz is on there, and he talks about his story growing up from really living in a shack, you know, with just his mom and his siblings, you know, to going to the NFL, going to college, getting his PhD after college. So there's a lot of great stories those guys can tell that can relate to business. So, you know, that's what I'm doing now. I'm out meeting with fans. I'm trying to do as much as I can, you know, with the folks like you guys on social media. You know, I'm 53. You know, I know a little bit about it, but I rely more on you guys to help me with that stuff.
We're here to help.
You know, I'm just having fun. I'm not playing football, but I'm still involved with fans and the guys I played with and a few that I didn't play with.
And I mean, just to brag on us fans for a second. I mean, we show out, man. We're Packer Nation all day, man. and we love our team. We love our team.
We do. Well, we're all Packer fans now. I mean, quite frankly, even when I played, I was a big fan. You know, being a kicker, you don't see the field that often. You might have noticed. you become a fan, you know, real quick, especially up here, you know, just when I came here in 89 and, you know, family night back in 1989, there were 15 or 20,000 people, which to me was, you know, just huge, you know. Mm-hmm. Then as we started being more successful, we got, you know, the 50, 60,000 people for family, like, family night like they do now, and it's just crazy. The fans, how much they take you in as whether you're a rookie or, you know, or Aaron Rodgers, who's been around for, you know, 10 years, 12 years, or whatever he's been around.
I mean, you are actually one of a handful of Packers that I have an autograph from. It was in when I was 11 years old, you, George Koontz, Craig Newsome came to a hotel in Milwaukee, and I had brought a Packers coffee mug, and you signed it. And I'm like, I still display that thing. And I'm like, I point out, I'm like, this is Chris Jackie, baby. I love it, dude.
Yeah.
But hey,
so you're 11. You just got to throw that age thing right in my face, don't you?
I have a question for you, Chris, and it's related to the kicker position. I mean, how difficult is it being a kicker in the NFL? I mean, you have when you make a field goal, it's like, all right, you did your job. You lose the game, and it's like, you know, you should lose your job. I mean, give us a little breakdown as to what life was like as being a kicker in the NFL.
You know, I honestly, it's really no different, you know, from really any other position, you know, on the field, especially at this level, because any given day, I mean, if you have a bad game, it doesn't matter what position you're playing, especially nowadays with free agency the way it is. I mean, you are at times living, you know, from kick to kick, or if you're a quarterback, sometimes pass to pass or win to win. But those things you really can't worry about. You know, I go back to Mason Crosby a few years ago, who just stunk the place up. I mean, he had a horrible year.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't his physical ability. It was just all in his head. You know,
yep.
He took that off season to get, you know, get things back under control up there and work through his issues and came back, you know, for several years now and is at the top of his game. And using him as an example again, he had one bad game this year and everybody's ready to get rid of him. You know, we have bad days. You never know what's going on in their personal life. I think there were rumors or, you know, news going around that at that time he was dealing with some family issues at the time. So you just never know. But Mason, you know, just turned things around, and you're doing this for so long. A lot of us, whether we're a kicker or defensive lineman, it really doesn't matter. We've been doing this since we were 5 or 6 years old. So you just go out there and do what your body knows how to do. It's almost like muscle recognition. Your muscles just know what to do.
So actually that's interesting. That kind of leads into something I've been curious about, Chris, is the, you know, obviously you won a Super Bowl. I'm talking to a Super Bowl champion.
I had a little help.
Well, I wasn't going to mention that. The rest of the team was fine, is my understanding. But what was that like? Like, what was that like playing in the Super Bowl and even just that entire run? I've watched that 96 season, I don't know how many times, and that Panthers game, I think I've watched more than just about anything. But what was kind of preparing for that run and preparing for that Super Bowl once you got to Super Bowl? I mean, you always hear about you got the media week. So you got you got that extra time in between. You get the longer half, like kind of all of that. What was it like playing a Super Bowl versus kind of other games? Did that change your preparation or change your mindset at all? Did you ever have a time when you were during the game or leading up to holy crap, I'm getting ready to play a Super Bowl? Or was it kind of you didn't really appreciate it till it was over because you just had your head down just trying to do what you always do?
You know, you have a couple of holy shit moments. you know, I know, you know, obviously the punter and the kicker get close usually. You know, Craig Hendrick is a good friend of mine, and I know we were out there, you know, during pre-games, and we were just kind of – we had finished our part of it, and we were walking off, and we kind of looked at each other and going, holy shit, we're here. You know, in the journey, you know, and I can remember games, you know, prior to 1996 where the Cowboys knocked us out of the playoffs, and the saying on the sideline was, holy shit, we got knocked out again. So, you know, the journey started long before that 96 season. It really started, you know, back in 92 when they brought in Brett and the coaching staff and Ron Wolf and all those guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it wasn't until, you know, midway through the fourth quarter of that Super Bowl, you know, the second holy shit moment, it was, holy shit, we're finally going to win this one. You know, there's no one here with a Cowboys or a star helmet. And, you know, everything that had happened in that five-year run-up, you know, getting through the Cowboys, getting over the 49ers, those two teams that we just couldn't beat for whatever reason. But we accomplished that in 1996 to win the Super Bowl. So it's you have a couple of those holy moments. It was right before the game or right after warm-ups, and then right at the end, you know, it's midway through the fourth quarter when Reggie White took over. It's like, hey, we're going to win.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Nice. Brian here. So before I ask the next question, I have to say on my brother's behalf, he says hi. He'd be very angry. My brother Mike would be very angry if I didn't say that.
Hey,
so.
Hey Mike, how you doing?
So beyond the Super Bowl, you played for many years with some, we'll call them characters. You were in there with Brett Favre and Gilbert Brown and Reggie White and some interesting guys. So any major memory that stands out, something other than the Super Bowl?
Something other than the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. It's just how well we, nothing specific. It's just how well we all got along. We had great leadership from Leroy Butler to Reggie White to Sean Jones. And, you know, I a lot of people ask me, that, what do you think's wrong with the team the last couple of years? And this is a fan looking from the outside in, knowing what it's like to be on the inside. I don't know how much leadership they've had on that team since Charles Woodson left. And, you know, Aaron, I think he does what he can, but being a quarterback, he's, you know, got so many responsibilities. I just don't know how much he can be a vocal leader. And I think that's what we had as a team in that 96 team. We just had so many guys that would get in your face, you know, during practice or, you know, after practice. And, you know, you're not, you know, stop drinking the beer, stop, you know, stop doing all that stuff, concentrate on winning the Super Bowl. I don't know how much of that leadership. I think Clay Matthews was a leader, but now he's gone. So it's, you know, who are the leaders on the current team, you know, that were similar to the ones we had? And I mean, you can name, you know, Leroy Butler, Gilbert Brown was a leader, Santana Dotson, William Henderson was a rookie, but he, you know, he led on special teams. We had a great mix of older leadership and younger guys that just really got along really well.
So, I mean, it's clear from, you know, you talking and, you know, following you on social media and stuff, you're still very much, you've talked about it a bunch here, just you follow the Packers. You are a Packer fan. You consider yourself a Packer fan still, which I think is amazing. You just talked about the leaders. Like, what are your thoughts on the current state of the team? Like, how do you feel about the season? And more than that, is there anyone that's really, any of these young guys? I mean, this team is so young. Are these young guys right now kind of really standing out to you? Oh, it's amazing. Are any of them like popping out where you really think this guy's getting ready to take off? This guy's the difference maker this year.
Right. Well, it all starts with number 12. You know, what's caused a lot of our downfall or ailments or losses in the last year is him staying healthy. So, you know, Aaron's got to stay healthy. You know, we got a good offensive line. I think we got a good core of receivers. Aaron Jones, UTEPper. I'm going to throw some, you know, kudos because I'm a UTEPper. good young running back. Where was I headed? Oh, I said the wild card was the new coaching staff. Mm-hmm. You know, if you kind of compare it apples to apples, when Ron Wolf brought in a new coaching staff, you know, it took us a few years to get back to the playoffs, not to the playoffs, but to the Super Bowl itself. And I know there's a lot of expectations. You know, Packer fans are the most optimistic fans in the world. You know, they're talking Super Bowl. You know, a lot of things would have to happen, in my opinion, to get to the Super Bowl. But that being said, if Aaron stays healthy, these young guys, and we adapt to this new offensive system, I think the defense was getting better last year, and hopefully they'll build on that. In the NFL, anything can happen. We don't play in the strongest division, let's face it. You know, I think the Bears, I can't see them doing what they did again. And then other teams may run into injuries. So, you know, a lot of things can happen, you know, that we can make a run deep into the playoffs. But I think our number one priority is to get through an entire 16-game season with number 12, taking all the snaps and being healthy, being able to be mobile and on the run and passing and doing the things he did when he's healthy.
So you've mentioned, just out of curiosity, you mentioned Wolf and coming in 92 a couple times, and you may be biased on this one way or the other, Chris. I'm not sure which way you're going to fall. We'll find out. I've been reading The Packer Way, and it seems like he was not overly fond of the talent on that 92 team. I mean, he kind of saw it as a job to kind of clean house. Do you think this team now is more talented than that team was when Wolf took over in 92? So you had that, you know, obviously, you know, 4 years before they actually won the Super Bowl. Do you see kind of a quick-ish turnaround just based on the talent level that's currently there?
I would have to agree the talent on the team currently would be better on the team that we have. I mean, we had a good quarterback, Don Majkowski, but he was injury-prone. Obviously, because Brett came in and took over and never looked back. I don't think we had Was Edgar Bennett there yet, or was that their first draft? I think Edgar Bennett was their first draft. So we didn't even have good running backs at the time. So I would agree with that assessment that the talent today, with the new coach taking over, is much better, or at least a little bit better than the talent that Ron Wolf took over and Mike Holmgren took over.
Okay.
Not in the kicking position, though.
Of course, I was going to bring it up, man. I was not going to bring that up.
I got to throw an asterisk out there.
I mean, top to bottom, they needed an overhaul, I think, except for one position. That one position was set, so.
Right. Yeah. Well, I always a trivia question is, what two players were held over from the Lindy Infante era that won the Super Bowl?
Huh.
Well, you know one. What? You're talking to him.
I got one.
I figured that was going to be one. Oh boy.
I'm not sure who the other one is.
Leroy Butler.
Was Butler back in Infante
there?
Yeah, Leroy was drafted, I think, in 1991. He was a Lindy Infante guy. So, yeah, I mean, this ties into a lot when we do the corporate speaking, a lot of corporations go into transformations. So I talk a lot about the transformation of the Green Bay Packers from a team that wasn't very good to a team that became a Super Bowl champion and what that took, whether it was new coaching staff, all new players except for two, you know, just and all the little things in between that made us a champion. So, yeah, Leroy Butler and myself were the only two holdovers.
Nice. My goodness, to turn over all but two players in, what is that, 4 years then?
Four years.
That is crazy.
My goodness. What was it? I just got to ask, what was it like being in the locker room for all that? Was it difficult saying goodbye to all those guys, or were you more so just excited about all the new ones coming in?
I think a little of each. You know, I'm trying to think of someone. You know, Don Majkowski was a good friend. You know, Don Bracken was the punter when those guys, he was a good friend. You know, Brian Noble, Sean Patterson. Mm-hmm. You know, I could go on down the line. You know, and that was we weren't a very good group, but we were a fun group. we knew where all the bars were in Green Bay. So we had a good time. We just, it just didn't carry over onto the field for whatever reason. Yeah.
Gotcha. We're asking about the memorable stories, Chris. That's the bar stuff seems like that's a good place to start, you know?
We'll have to go to a bar and tape it at the bar then.
Yes, sir.
I would do that. We could probably have a 3 or 4 hour long episode just doing that.
Did Travis Jervy go to the bars with you?
Travis Jervy?
Yeah.
Oh my god. It sounds like you've heard a few of his stories already. So
maybe a couple.
The ones that have gotten out, I guess.
Yeah. So you mentioned the dire straits that the kicker situation is in, considering a certain legend isn't on the team anymore. There is a competition this year. Mason Crosby's still around. Sam Ficken is in to try to unseat him, I guess. Any insight on that competition? Any advice you'd give to the younger guy trying to unseat the king?
The obvious for the young guys is do the best you can. I think there's zero chance they're going to change kickers. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a position. I mean, it's from a new coach standpoint, you want to have a solid kicker and a solid punter, because putting in a new system and bringing in, you know, the guys and the talent that you want, there's two things. There's one thing that you want to be able to control on the field is score points when you can, whether it's a, you know, touchdown or a field goal. So you got to have a solid kicker and game and field position. I think we've got a great punter, young punter out of Alabama. And I think Mason will be fine. You know, I honestly didn't hear that he was injured until training camp started, but I guess it happened back in mini camp or something. So, but I don't see any change there unless the injury, you know, causes, you know, it to happen. But the other kid, the young kid, is on exhibition. You know, other teams are always watching, you know, looking out for kickers. I know there's a team about 120 miles south of here that may be looking for a kicker.
Yeah, that's why you can't just you can't go cutting Mason Crosby. You know he's just going to end up just like all the other good players that have left Green Bay recently in surprising fashion. They keep on going to Minnesota, Detroit, Chicago. Right. I can't handle another one.
No, not right now. No,
Mason would hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yep. No, I think as long as Mason comes back healthy, I think he's fine.
Guys, Pack to the Future today is brought to you by The Ticket King. Visit theticketking.com. They are your one-stop shop for any ticket you're going to need for any event in the state of Wisconsin or really anywhere else. Brewer season's in full gear here, winding down towards the playoffs, which hopefully they'll make. Packer season right around the corner. Any concerts, any shows, whatever you want to attend, visit theticketking.com and they will hook you up.
Awesome. You boys have any more questions for Super Bowl champion Chris Jackie?
Okay. I got one more question. And Chris, this has nothing to do with football. I just want to know, man, so you're 53, correct? I'm just curious, what's your favorite musical artist, favorite album? When you just something that is just absolutely incredible to you. What is your favorite thing to put on?
For one thing, I don't have albums anymore. I have CDs.
Well, yeah.
You know, I
still call those albums.
I grew up in the 80s, and I was the heavy metal, you know, Iron Maiden. I love Iron
Ooh,
Maiden.
Ooh, let's go.
Nice.
You know, AC/DC, any of that stuff. You know, Judas Priest. So I was into that kind of music. You know, the music today, I don't get. So my parents used to say they don't understand our music. I totally get where my parents are coming from now, because I just don't. I mean, all the guys that sing today sound like they're being in a vice. I don't know.
I've definitely had that a few times. My dad, you know, my dad raised me on Beatles and Alice Cooper. A lot of Beatles and Alice Cooper. Like a lot of classic stuff, and you know, not as much into metal because he didn't really like it. But he definitely had times where he was like, I don't understand music, and it was, oh, look at this old man, and now I'm 39, and I definitely have, I listen to a lot of music. There's times where I just think,
oh yeah,
I don't get this. This doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
No. Yeah, I listen a lot. I mean, I like a lot of 70s music, you know, a lot of Eagles.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of 70s and 80s music. Motley Crue is a good, I think we just saw them in their farewell tour here last year.
Okay.
So.
Nice.
Awesome.
No, well, sorry to disappoint you. No boy bands.
No boy bands.
That's a bummer. I was really hoping to talk some boys and or new kids on the block or something like that with you, but
another time. I thought you were going to go with something like really new and just absolutely blow me away. Something I didn't see coming. But you know what? I'll take metal, Chris. I'll take metal.
All right. That's good. I heard of that. That's really good. They're called Hem.
Oh, I love Hem.
Yeah.
Oh, you do? Okay, so you've heard of them. I thought that would be a little obscure for you. Dream Theater? There's another one, Dream Theater.
Ooh.
Mike
Portnoy's great.
I got a friend of mine who's a huge Dream Theater guy. Huge Dream Theater guy.
Yeah, I like them too.
Yeah, same. So.
Awesome. Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Where can, I mean, obviously you said you had a Facebook page. I mean, what's the website for your organization again, just so we can get people directed to you?
Absolutely. It's playeralumniresources.com. So, and I'm on Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn and all that stuff. Don't ask me what the links are because I have no clue. But if you find my personal Facebook page, you usually can find the rest of them. So I think it's at chris.jackie.13 or something.
Awesome. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, Packer Nation, that is Chris Jackie. Thank you for tuning in, guys. We will be back with a season preview very, very, very soon. Thanks for tuning in. We are Packs of the Future.